Avery whipped around to follow the shot and saw it strike the gold-armored alien in the chest. Instantly, its energy shields collapsed with a loud snap. Some of its armor broke away in a burst of sparks and steam. The alien roared as electricity from its armor's shorted circuits arced about its neck and arms. Then it sprinted forward, knocking Avery aside. The staff sergeant lost his M7 as he landed on his hands. Looking up, he saw the hammer-wielding alien bring its weapon down onto the head of the alien in the tunic. The shorter creature simply disappeared under the weight of the heavy stone cudgel, perished in a crushing blow that saw the hammer's head straight down between its arms and legs, pulping it against the walkway. Avery didn't waste any time wondering why the smaller alien had tried to kill its leader and not him. Instead, he raised his M7 and did his best to finish the job. And he might have done it if the black-haired giant hadn't retreated, dragging its hammer behind it into an unexpected melee between the insects and the gray-skinned aliens near the control center. The two sets of creatures were now at each other's throats, claws and cutlasses flashing. Jalan and the militiamen opened fire on both sides, but most of their targets went down with mortal wounds delivered by one of their own. Only Jenkins remained focused on the alien with the hammer. He marched past Avery, firing at the beast as it limped toward the number 4 station. "Let it go," Avery barked, but Jenkins disobeyed. In his target, he saw the cause of all his hurt and loss. He would kill the alien's leader and be avenged. But his rage had made him blind, and he didn't see the last of the gray-skinned creatures spring up behind a barrel as he passed, its horribly pockmarked skin flecked with the insect's yellow blood. Avery raised his M7, but Forsell ran directly into his line of fire. Legs pumping, the big recruit tackled the alien a moment before it jabbed its cutlass in Jenkins's side. Together, they tumbled toward the data center, a jumble of blue-gray limbs and sweaty olive-drab fatigues, leaving the alien's pink cutlass spinning on the walkway behind them. Forsell managed to tear off the alien's mask, only to get a face full of freezing methane and putrid spittle. He put his hands to his eyes, and the alien took the opportunity to bite deep into the recruit's left shoulder, right at the base of his neck. By this point, Avery was sprinting forward. Forsell screamed as the alien forced him to the walkway and shook its head, deepening its bite. Avery dropped into a feet-first slide. M7 in his left hand, he snatched the spinning cutlass with his right. A split second later, he hit the alien square in the face with an upraised boot. The blow smashed the creature's teeth, breaking its iron bite. The alien reeled backwards, fumbling for its mask, but before it could draw a recuperative breath, Avery threw the cutlass, a quick extension of his elbow that sent the shard twirling end over end right into the soft joint where the alien's narrow waist met its hips. The creature froze, knowing it was doomed. Then the shard blew to pieces, taking the alien with it. "Station number 1," Jalan shouted, rushing to Avery's side. "Loki just sent the last pair."
"Healy,"
Avery grunted, pressing his palms against Forsell's neck.
"Get over here."
Blood spurted between his fingers. The alien had nicked Forsell's jugular vein. "Burn's team is on the pair," Jalan said, placing her hand over Avery's, helping him keep pressure on the wound. "They made it." Avery looked up as Jenkins slunk forward. The recruit's steely resolve faded as he took a good look at his ashen comrade, a brother in arms who had risked his life for his. Jenkins was about to speak when Avery locked his forlorn gaze and said, "We'll all make it too."